Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
Hello and welcome to Healthy You. My name is Kim Brooks Miller of Healthy Cells Magazine of the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and thank you for joining us today. We have a terrific show for you based on a popular and ever-growing topic, palliative care and planning for this type of care. To discuss this topic with me, we have three guests, and let me please introduce our first guest, Dr. Philip Olson. Dr. Olson is the medical director at the OSF Richard L. Owens Hospice Home and leads work in outpatient palliative care at OSF Healthcare. This year, he was named a Fellow of the American Academy of Hospice and Palliative Medicine, one of the highest honors that the Academy can bestow on a physician. Dr. Olson trained at the Chicago Medical School University of Health Sciences of Rosalind Franklin University, completing his residency in internal medicine at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria and his nephrology fellowship at the University of Florida in Gainesville. We also have with us today to talk about palliative care and planning is Steve Butis and Mary Casterline of Living by Your Design. We are welcoming Steve back to the show. He is the founder and president of the Living by Your Design. You may recognize Steve as he writes fabulous monthly columns in Healthy Cells magazine focusing on issues regarding the sandwich generation. Mary Casterline is the senior care and community placement advisor. So welcome to the show, all of you. Great to have you here. And also congratulations on your award.
Thank you so
much, Dr. Olson.
Ken.
That is really neat. So let's just jump right into this. Dr. Olson, what is palliative care and how is it different from hospice?
Good question, Kim. So I like etymology. You know, I like to look at the root meanings of words. And if you go back to the old Latin, palliative had to do with shielding people. So when we think about palliative care, or sometimes it's called supportive care, it's bringing an extra layer of support around vulnerable people. So anyone with a chronic, it could be a terminal disease. It could be just a disease that at this point is disabling and causing ongoing symptom burden. And in the past, people would have said, well, palliative care is just end-of-life care. But now we recognize that we can do so much more for people by backing that up to when they are first having a lot of symptom burden. So various of the specialty societies, whether it's the American College of Oncology or American College of Cardiology, have looked and said, you know, when people first have high symptom burden, that's when we should be bringing this extra layer of support around them and their families.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interdisciplinary team of physicians, might be mid-level providers, APNs, social workers, pastoral care people, counselors, depending on the patient's needs and their desires and their wishes and their family's needs and wishes.
Mm-hmm. This must have been a passionate area for you.
Yeah, I think that throughout my career, medicine has been ministry and seeking where am I being led to best serve. And initially, that was internal medicine and nephrology, a lot of chronic, frail, elderly, dialysis, and transplant patients. And then through the years, as I saw many of them having needs that we couldn't meet with the therapies that that we were able to provide at that time, led me to develop interest and seek certification, board certification in hospice and palliative medicine.
Mm-hmm. And thank God for that. And here you're right in our own backyard, you know, of Central Illinois, and we're very, very fortunate to have you here. So who needs palliative care and who decides when the time is right for it?
We have a saying in palliative care, when we talk about this kind of serious kind of care, and it raises so many negative connotations. You know, we like to all think we're invincible.
Right.
But we're all going to pass away one day. So we have a saying that it's always too soon until it's too late. So I think that whenever we are recognizing that patients have a high symptom burden from chronic disease, that's the time to be thinking about palliative care. And patients should be proactive in asking their physicians, their healthcare providers, is palliative care something that I might be able to benefit from? especially when they start having difficulties getting in and out of the physician's offices. They may or may not qualify, as Steve well knows, they may or may not qualify for home health, but still have a lot of needs that are difficult to provide in their home.
Right, right.
And so we're trying to develop mechanisms to bring that care to people. We like to say the right care at the right time for the right person.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a sharp saying. But, you know, it's very true because everybody has different needs and you got to try to meet those needs.
Right. And the disease evolves. The care needs evolve during that period of time. So we would like to have that relationship with people and so that we know them and they trust us and know us and feel secure that our goal is to help them fulfill their goals at this point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that often comes up is how do you differentiate then palliative care from hospice care? And what I would say is that palliative care is a very large domain
mm-hmm.
that can be given to children. It can be given to adults at any stage of a serious illness. Hospice care is a very small segment of that. So when a patient now is in the terminal phases of their life, what additional support can we bring to them to really intensify the focus on their symptoms? And curiously, when we do that, most people would say that hospice care is for people that are just dying right now. But the truth is, and many studies show this, when we bring hospice care to patients, we not only improve quality of life, we can improve the length of life for most diagnoses, cancers, heart failure, COPD.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, thanks for clarifying that because I think that's helpful because I think it is very confused, you know, with the public. Now, what specific palliative care services does OSF offer?
So we have been very proactive over the years, and OSF identified early on that it wanted to have a champion throughout its regions in this supportive care, palliative care, and identified Dr. Robert Sawicki to be our Senior Vice President of Supportive Care. And so in all regions from Escanaba to Alton, Bob is looking at how we can improve palliative care services. All of the OSF facilities have inpatient palliative care services in one form or another. Some are staffed by physicians and mid-levels. Some are staffed by mid-levels. Some are staffed just by nurses, depending on the nature of their facility. We have two, soon to be three, physicians at OSF St. Francis Medical Center and about five or six mid-level providers, APNs, providing specialty palliative care in that rather large hospital for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when patients are ready to leave the hospital, many of them are still very vulnerable. They may not want to go back into the hospital if that can be avoided. And so we have developed a mechanism for making a warm handoff to our outpatient palliative care services so that myself, my mid-level providers, social workers, chaplains can meet that person, sometimes in the hospital, to start the relationship, and then meet them very quickly at home with the right provider. It might be a social worker, might be a chaplain, it might be my APN. Identify the questions, the concerns, the issues they have. You know, what we find most of the time is that people bounce back into the hospital because they don't have another option except to call 911.
Right.
They're afraid. It's 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. The sun's going down. Their physician often is closed. Something has come up, maybe just a question, and they're nervous. And if they don't have another option, then they've been taught and we've taught them. If this is an emergency, call 911 or go to the nearest hospital.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But that may not be appropriate for their disease process at this point, and it may not be their desire either.
Right, right. So what is most misunderstood about
I think what's
care?
Most misunderstood is that people think palliative care is just end-of-life care. It's when you're ready to throw in the towel, and that's not the way we see it at all. We see palliative care as focusing on the quality of life and bringing the best quality of life to people for as long as God gives them life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the thing. And we know that we can oftentimes extend life by improving the symptom burden. So, you know, it may be simplistic, but I say that if you feel better, you feel more like living.
Exactly.
And you're likely to live longer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on that happy note, we are going to take a station break. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, and we have Dr. Olson, who is the medical director at the OSF Richard L. Owens Hospice Home, and also Steve Butis and Mary Casterline of the Living by Your Design. We'll be right back.
Growing up, Mom took good care of us. She always knew what to do in tough situations. Now she needs our help. As Mom's caregivers, we realize we can't do it alone. We need someone with the experience and compassion to meet her needs today and to help her as those needs change. That's where OSF Home Care entered the picture. They listened to us and understood this was a tough call, but it was the right call. Whether they're giving Mom injections, delivering medications and medical equipment, or providing rehab therapy, the OSF Home Care team treats her as if she were a part of their family.
There's no place like home. For information about home care, ask your doctor. Or to learn more about OSF Home Care in the Peoria area, make the right call to 683-7700.
Mom means the world to us. She deserves the best, and she's getting it. Thanks, OSF Home Care.
Did you know that a daughter over age 50 will spend more time caring for her parent than her mother spent caring for her as a child?
Being the adult child of an aging parent can be tough, especially when you don't live near your loved one. One area of great need is helping mom or dad communicate with the doctor while being challenged with your work schedule or time away from your family. Living by Your Design can accompany your loved one to the doctor, communicate your concerns with the doctor, and then relay the doctor's plan of care to you. Contact us for more details on how we can save you time and provide the loving care for your parent that can make a difference in their life. Call Living by Your Design at 309-285-8088 or visit livingbyyourdesigninc.com.
And welcome back to Healthy You. It's terrific to have you joining us today. And we have three special guests on with us talking about palliative care. We have Dr. Olson, who is the medical director at the OSF Richard L. Owens Hospice Home. And we also have Steve Butis and Mary Casterline, who is with Living by Your Design. And of course, Steve is the founder and the president, and Mary is the senior care and community placement advisor. So we really appreciate you all joining us. This is a great topic. So with your Living by Your Design, how can you support someone with a chronic disease?
First of all, spotting and helping them identify on a layperson's way of doing it. But tell people people need to know what their options are. Mm-hmm. And first of all, they need to see that they do have some type of condition that they should be seeing a doctor for, and then what their options are from there. And I think the big thing with people, we sometimes know that there's something going on and we don't want to know where it's going to progress. But the future and knowing what's ahead sometimes is more valuable than not knowing. And I'll contend that if you know what the future is and what the projection is, then you could better deal with the future and what you're gonna come across. Mm-hmm. And that takes away the fear of the unknown, mm-hmm. which is terrible. I think that people, if they identify where they're at, they get the proper care and know what their options are, that's how they can best present themselves in the future.
Right. And that's where you step in with your role of always plan.
Right.
As you say.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how do your services complement palliative care?
We network with our community, first of all, offers a tremendous amount of resources for people. And what we try to do is from the outside, as we're meeting people, try to pull together those resources, whether it be medical in this case or legal, financial, lifestyle, how somebody lives, where they live, that type of thing. Pull all that together, help identify where people are at and create a plan for the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we ought to take a quick moment and backtrack just a second. people may be tuning in and thinking, wait a minute, what is Living by Your Design? So maybe you could preface that a bit, and then they'll understand why we're asking the questions that we're asking of you.
Okay. Living by Your Design is a company that's set up to basically serve as an advocate mm-hmm. for people as they go through the aging process. Most of our clients are seniors or the sandwich generation, which are the kids of the seniors that also are taking care of their kids.
Right.
And they're all of the events that they have going, so they have a very active life. So we have people that are business owners, for example, trying to take care of mom and finding it difficult to take the time that's necessary to properly be aware of everything that's going on with mom.
Mm-hmm.
For example, even getting to a doctor's office. So we find that people, in some cases, like this case with mom, if there's a bit of dementia, for example, son owns a business, mom needs to get to the doctor. If nobody's going to the doctor with mom, she's out there and the doctor's not being able to communicate with the family.
Right.
Family not with the doctor, and the ball's getting dropped in the middle. So what we do is we help facilitate that coordination with the doctor's office, and we'll send somebody in, we'll send in an RN with mom to see the doctor so that there's clear communication.
Mm-hmm.
From the outside in and the medical community out.
Right. And so proper planning can start and you can work with institutions such as Dr. Olson's.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, I wanted to clarify that because the listeners might be, wait a minute, what is this? We want to make sure everybody understands. So how does your organization address changing physical and medical needs?
That's a good question, Kim. Thanks for letting us speak on that. There's kind of four areas that people go through, and sometimes we help them identify the change and then perhaps the progression of the disease and what their changing needs might need. So one of the first things people always consider is if they want to stay at home as long as possible, what do they have to look at? What do they need to do to provide for that? So there might be some home modification that takes place. There might be some home health care matchups that we can help them do. Another thing might be when it comes to leaving home, how are they going to sell it? Do they need to sell it quickly? Are they selling it to a family member so we can help with home improvements before they sell? Or we can help with a quick turnaround in sale if they need to get rid of the home and mm-hmm. to get the money for assets to pay for care. Another thing, the next step might be when they need to move. With that, we can help with senior community matchups to match their financial status, their physical needs, their maybe they have having some cognitive memory challenges to match it to a community that can meet that for them. We also help them understand that not all senior communities are alike so that we can help match the progression of their disease with the kind of community that might support them so they don't have to move, go back home, so that their life isn't, they can be supported. And then the last thing is a lot of times there's going to be a lot of their personal assets or family assets that need for care. So we can assist with finding some funding sources, particularly like VA for assisted living.
Right. Right. Military, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think it's so expensive. You know, that's the thing I hear from mm-hmm. families, so that you can help identify places that would be affordable.
Right.
But still fit the needs of what mm-hmm. needs to be done. So, Steve, I see you've got a twinkle in your eye. You have a good story to tell?
Well, there's several that really come to mind quickly. One is, as people spend down, and it's important to know, if we have a community spouse and a spouse that's going, let's say, into a nursing home, so that's become necessary at this point in time, the community spouse can keep up to $109,500 in assets. So it's important to know that the community spouse does not have to spend down to zero
mm-hmm.
or $2,000, $1,500. So there are ways that they could plan to keep this money and to be able to keep a home and that type of thing. So that's important to know. We had a case recently, which goes along with palliative care, and a gentleman with COPD was in a skilled nursing facility, going to go home, wanted to go home, limited support at home, and where he was going to spend most of his time was his bedroom. Well, his house had not been remodeled in years, and here we have a 1970s long shag carpet.
Oh, my gosh.
And old carpet in a bedroom, and really with COPD and using a walker and oxygen, that's probably a bad combination because of the allergens and such.
Oh, sure.
So we help them find a contractor to install floor that would also be resistant to the water stains and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And remodel the bathroom to make it possible for him to get home. And the whole objective that we all have is quality of life. Is let's make this possible, let's make this quality, let's make it safe for the individual mm-hmm. as much as humanly possible.
Right. And I think it's all about relationships, too, that you develop, what Dr. Olson was alluding to earlier when he was commenting about, you know, their practice and what they do. So now what makes your group unique?
It's the network of people that we're associated with and partnered with. We have a company that we work with. It's going back to the spousal impoverishment provision. If a person, let's say, is going from their home into a nursing home and there's no spouse, that home sometimes will probably need to be sold for Medicaid purposes. And the family, once again, sandwich generation, kids, and there's over 50 years, I don't know about you guys, but I have accumulated stuff. And over those years with the stuff sitting around, sometimes the family looks at that. The monster is getting all the stuff out that you don't want. There are heirlooms that you're going to take, but it's that other stuff. Getting all of that out, making the house ready to sell, prepping it, painting it, and then selling it. Or in our case, we use a company that will buy that home and all the stuff that's in it within 5 days upon agreed upon price. So they will buy it for cash and they will take all the stuff out.
Wow.
So it, once again, quality of life for the family, spend time with the person they need to spend time with their aging senior or their kids and or their kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of different entities that you work with, such as with selling of the home and
finding funding. We had recently a long-term care insurance claim that the family tried to claim on for 2 years, and this policy was pretty tough. It did not include bathing, which is really abnormal for long-term care policies. But it did include incontinence, and this person was incontinent. And the last line of the incontinence definition in the policy was cleansing of garments by staff, by a facility staff. And we used that because of the incontinence and the occasional need to change garments, and the facility was laundering them. That was our second trigger to make that policy payable, and it paid $3,500 a month. Mm-hmm. For that person's care, once again contributing to quality of life mm-hmm. and the location that person can stay.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Olson, I see you shaking your head. Yes, you have seen all this before, right?
Definitely. Yeah, there are so many gaps in care. I think the challenge, whether you're a fan of Obamacare or not, improving quality, improving safety, improving the cost effectiveness of our care, and finding ways to meet the needs of people who want to stay in their home. As this, sometimes it's described, the silver tsunami comes up on our shores of medical care. You know, there's a huge, huge number of aging people, and we're not going to, most of us, die suddenly. We'd like to think that we might, but
right.
Most of us are going to get chronic diseases and are going to have needs that our current healthcare system hasn't been well designed to meet. So that's a huge challenge that we're looking at, and we also look to partner with people like Steve and his company to help meet the needs of people and be creative, thinking outside the box of how can we help people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the goal is. And I mean, there are a lot of baby boomers out there, and I am on the tail end of that. So, you know, I see that. I see the needs. And, you know, you think about planning and aging. And my parents are both still alive, and they're doing great. But you still need to think ahead. They're probably listening to this radio show. So, yes, they are doing very well. And they're fine. So now, as we start to kind of wrap up on this, I'm thinking about any kind of final words of advice that you think would be beneficial. And I'd like for each of you to state something, you know, if you would, because you've each had experience in this. And it can be from the medical side, if you wish, or from the emotional side. But I think it would be good because there might be listeners out there thinking, boy, this I really needed to hear this show, and I need help with this. I now understand what palliative care is. So what would be some final words of advice? And we'll start first with you, Dr. Olson.
I think getting back to the phrase, it's always too soon until it's too late. And so I would look at the word palliative and remember that that comes from the word to shield. And so thinking about as we age or as we develop, even for, at a younger age, as we develop serious chronic diseases, you know, what do I need to help shield me from the symptom burden and allow me to meet the goals that I have? Usually that's staying in my own home for as long as possible.
Right.
Maybe even eventually dying in my own home. What kind of things do I need to be able to do that? So not looking at it as just end-of-life care, but looking at it as an extra layer of support that we can bring to anybody who's got high symptom burden.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Steve, would you like to say something in closing?
Yeah, I really think planning's an issue. We have so many valuable resources here in the community. The Richard Owens Hospice House is one of them. And people don't fully realize, I think, what that facility has to offer and how exactly it works. We have an array of different types of services that can be provided for people. And truly, a person's life revolves around legal, financial, lifestyle, healthcare, advocacy, those types of things. Trying to coordinate all those issues, I think, is key. And then having a record of the financials and the legal. That's really key for the future for the kids to help the parents get by what they're going to need to get by at some point.
Well, that is great advice, both of you. Thank you. And I'd like to thank all three of you for coming on air and sharing your time with us. I know how busy you all are. And again, a special thanks to Dr. Philip Olson, the medical director at the OSF Richard L. Owens Hospice Home, and Steve Butis, the founder and president of Living by Your Design, and Mary Casterline, the senior care and community placement advisor. Now, after listening to the show, you may have some questions on planning for your loved one's future or maybe your own. So you can call Living by Your Design at 309-285-8088. Let me repeat that number for you, 285-8088, or you can visit them online at livingbyyourdesigninc.com. That's all one word, .com. And for more information on palliative care at OSF Healthcare or the OSF Richard L. Owens Hospice Home, please call 309-308-5950. And let me repeat that number for you too, 308-5950, or visit osfsupportivecare.org. Now, the information shared today is so important, and the services and advice you heard about can really help if you're going through some tough situations and do not know what to do and what is available for help. This is one of the many reasons why Healthy You Radio and Healthy Cells Magazine exists, to be on the go and be a health resource for you. Thanks for coming alongside us today. This is Kim Brooks-Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, hosting Healthy You. Visit us online on Facebook and also read the magazine online or catch past radio shows by visiting healthycellsmagazine.com/Peoria. You can take us anywhere on your schedule, or you can pick up your copy of the magazine at one of over 800 locations in the greater Peoria metro area. Till we're together again next Saturday, God bless you and be in your best health now.